Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine. How are you today, Kathy Houston?
I'm super excited for ASI's Got Talent later.
We do have a ASI talent show later that our own Joe Haley helped to plan. Joe, what's the scoop on that?
Well, Andy, we're going to see some of the most talented people at ASI get on stage.
All six of them.
Perform for the company and with the opportunity to win cool prizes.
For the rest of the company's sake, it's good that none of us in this room actually are performing.
I think for the whole company's sake, it's good that they're serving beer beforehand.
That's a very good point, Kathy. Very good point.
Yes.
You only bring the important knowledge. Also with us today is Advantage's editor, Jen Vishnevsky. Jen, how are you?
I just got a promotion.
On the editorial staff,
I'm great.
Whatever you want to call it. You're with us.
I'm here.
You're here along for the ride.
Happy to be here.
All right. And we have Rooster Work in the soundboard one last time. Is it one last time? Oh, no, you're going to be with us tomorrow, too.
Wait, what's happening to Rooster?
Wow, news to Kathy. Okay, Kathy just found out the news here. Breaking news here on ASI Radio. Rooster is leaving us.
He's flying the coop.
He's cock-a-doodle-doodling.
He's flying
off
the coop.
Oh, wow. Joe just said Rooster's flying the coop. That's very sad. But anyway, we also have Vin Driscoll answering your calls today. Give us a ring. We're talking about top business challenges. Any questions you have about the biggest challenges you're facing in your business as you face the second half of the year or move into 2013, let us know. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, Joe, what are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card.
All right. That sounds good. And the cash machine is ringing.
That makes me sad.
And Kathy's sad. Okay. And Joe, tell us what else is on today's show.
Well, Sad Kathy is going to have six steps for great customer services for everyone.
You know,
everyone.
Sad Kathy doesn't come out too often.
If I could pull it together.
Jen's going to take a look at why now is the best time for small businesses. I have some essential social media tips for executives. We have three ways to differentiate your Three ways to differentiate your company from the competition.
Not really.
We have some other topics on tap here.
If you think so.
And we have our favorite things. Well, let's start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Joe just gave Jen the stank eye.
I get it all the time.
We begin this morning.
Yes, because I'm in the studio with her when she tapes her videos.
Yeah.
Tries to read from a teleprompter.
Tries.
We begin this morning with recall news. The CPSC, in cooperation with Importer California Innovations, recalled nearly 900,000 hot and cold gel packs that go into lunch bags and totes. The company, which is not an ASI-listed supplier but does sell some of its items in this industry through Leeds, said the packs can be hazardous if they break. On to product news now. Toronto has become the largest city in Canada to ban single-use plastic bags from retail stores and supermarkets. The surprise vote last week still needs to pass the full legislature. Toronto joins Los Angeles, the largest city in the U.S. to do so, and Hawaii as recent localities creating new laws banning single-use plastic bags. General economic news now. For the 29th consecutive month, U.S. service companies grew at a faster pace in May. The service sector, which includes more than 80% of all workers, rose largely on new orders, meaning demand is likely to creep higher in coming weeks. Social media news now. Are you a member of LinkedIn? You may want to change your password. The social networking service said it is investigating a data breach that happened last week. The company says that 6.5 million members could have had their passwords compromised in the breach. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Andy, we have custom caps, caps that you can build from the ground up. You can put whatever brim you want on there, decorating, design, closure, you know, flex fit, whatever you want from the ground up, a custom cap.
Excellent.
You got to see. But I want to say something about that bag band.
Okay, bring
this is something that we've been talking about for a few years, and we can go back 2 or 3 years ago when we were saying that it's a good time for distributors to start talking to their local merchants, you know, big chain stores, that, you know, all these bands are going to start to take effect. I know, I can't speak. Start to take effect, and that they should really start showing the non-woven polypropylene bags.
Ooh, you said that good.
I know. Yeah, they're reusable bags.
He brought the noise with non-woven polypropylene.
You know, Hawaii, you know, L.A., I mean, We were right.
I hear you. And you know what? You're exactly right. We just did a feature in Counselor on basically titled "What's the Future of Plastic Bags?" And it doesn't have a great future. The single-use plastic
bags
are the ones that are, you know, kind of on the firing line. There are biodegradable plastic bags, and there's other plastic bags that are actually still in use and doing well. But it is an opportunity for distributors. They're, you know, these things, supermarkets and retail stores are going in a different direction. So talk to them about it. Good point, Joe.
Thank you.
Way to go. All right, we're headed to the phone lines right now. If you have a question about your top business challenge or anything that's challenging in your business right now, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. Let's head to the phones on line three. We have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Hey.
Doing well. Now, you're just coming back from a big road trip. Is that right?
Yeah, I just... I actually was, we rode from San Francisco to Los Angeles for the AIDS ride. We raised $12.6 million.
Wow.
Well, that's
now,
awesome
when
for you.
Say, when you say road, that's bike road, correct?
Bicycle, yeah.
Right. that must have taken a toll.
50 miles.
Wow, how'd it go?
It went great. I mean, I'll be putting the pictures of everything on Facebook shortly. There's a day called Red Dress Day, which... you just have to see to believe.
Stanley in a
red
dress?
Did you wear a red dress?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Stanley, you must send us pictures of that.
Yes, they named me Holly.
Too right. much information.
Why not Stella?
I think we will call you Holly from now on then. Stanley, what's your question for us today?
Well, a question I have is regarding business challenges is, you know, with all the vendors offering so many things, and, you know, importing and coming here, you know, buying USA, how do you decide where to really push USA knowing that the price is more and going for the buy USA and keep it USA versus trying to make the quick sale and knowing the price is still and will always be king?
Kathy, you're
well,
shaking
Stanley,
your head.
I just finished editing the Made in the USA supplement for Advantages, and suppliers that are in that supplement are very optimistic about the future sales and the current sales of Made in the USA products. And a lot of them say that it's not necessarily true that they are more expensive. A lot of times you can get them for the same price. Also, you have the fact that the inventory is always there. You don't have to worry about it being shipped from overseas. So if time is of the essence, a lot of times USA is the way to go. Plus, obvious targets would be political campaigns right around now. They always demand USA-made products, government agencies, police, firemen, military.
Unions.
Yeah, yep. I'd add on to that that certainly the cost is something extra, but I think if you have clients that are requesting, like Kathy's talking about, then they're not necessarily so concerned about that price difference. It's something that they feel like they need in their business and want to promote in their business, so that might not be an obstacle for the companies that are requesting it. For others, if you're trying to push it, then you know you might be talking about factors that are not involving price, you know, things that
right,
are involving,
like I said, like timing, shipping, mm-hmm. customs concerns, like I said, the inventory being there, being available, and also if product safety is a concern, a lot of times it's better if the manufacturer has control over all the quality control issues.
Yep. All good points. All right, Stanley, we'll send us those pictures, or shall I say Holly?
Yes.
Stolly.
All right, send us those pictures, and you have a good day.
Okay, have a great one.
Thanks. All right, on line two, we have Danielle. Danielle, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Good morning. What's your question?
Okay, well, I'm having a bit of a challenge in my business. I've always been, you know, a person who tries to avoid anything that could lead to confrontation, and the problem with that is that I'm having trouble collecting bills from clients, and I'm trying to find out a way to make the process easier and less time-consuming, and I don't know. Do you have any suggestions?
Of course we do. We're the hosts of ASI Radio. That's what we're here for. Joe, what do you think?
You can always use a collection agency. I mean, if you don't want to go that route, I mean, it might take a little time, you know. Just keep, you know, sending them emails, send them mail, or you can just show up in their office one day and say, you know, we need to get some money.
With donuts.
Sure, why not? You know, why not?
Donuts make everybody.
I mean, you could be kind about this, you know.
Right.
You know, it's a task I think that a lot of people don't like doing. You know, the collections, you know, a difficult thing, but you need to get paid because you need your cash flow. So, you know, stay at it. And if, you know, all else fails, go with the collection agency.
And don't have any qualms, I think Andy would agree, about making them pay half up front.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the first step is for any new customers you have to say that that's your policy, in a sense. You know, tell them that you require 50% payment up front. And I would imagine, you know, we're hearing from plenty of distributors that say that their clients aren't balking at that sort of thing. So it might be hard with companies you've worked with a lot in the past, and you know, they've had different payment, you've had different payment plans for them. But for new customers, I would suggest doing that. And and secondarily, I would say, like Joe said, you just have to stay on top of them. I mean, everybody's in business today, and you're selling to businesses that understand the importance of cash flow, and you can have an honest conversation and say, you can't work with them in the future if they're not going to pay their bills on time. And that's something that, you know, as you said, as somebody who might not like confrontation, is a hard conversation to have, but it's necessary for your business moving forward.
You know, try to work out a payment plan if you need to.
Yep.
I mean, if they're really strapped for cash, you know, make, you know, a little payment plan where you're going to get so much, you know, every week, every other week until the bill's paid off.
Mm-hmm. All right, Danielle, good luck with that difficult challenge, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you, I will.
All right, on line one, we have Stan. Wow, another Stan today.
Oh, we had a Stan.
Does he also go by Holly?
Well, let's see. Stan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Do you also go by the nickname Holly?
No, but I can if you'll answer my question.
Okay, well, let's. Why don't you shoot, and we'll see.
All right, so I think this is a problem a lot of people are having, and that's my clients and my prospects, too, are just, they're all just focused on price. They seem to ignore, you know, the value of promotional products or what I can bring to them, and I'm just wondering what I can do to get them off, get their focus off price so much.
I have two suggestions. One, going with a good, better, best scenario. So say they want a polo shirt, you're going to get them something that they want, you get them something a little better, and then you get them the best in that category. You know, give them options so they're going to see the quality of the product. The other thing you might want to consider trying to work a program out with them where you have a product that can be tracked and you can track the ROI for them. So if you can actually show them the return on the investment for using the promotional products in certain campaigns, then you've proved your point there, and then hopefully that goes a long way with that client.
Yeah, and I would suggest, Stan, to just try to veer that conversation away from price as much as possible. Obviously, they're, you know, if they're bringing it up, then it's something that's important to them. But also value is important to them, and proving ROI, I would imagine, is something that is important to their business. So, you know, showing them the ROI of promotional products is important. Talking to them about campaigns, like Joe was saying, you know, come in with ideas and concepts and whole campaigns that people can work off of. And then, the promotional item aspect of a campaign then does not become the commodity aspect. The problem that I think many distributors fall into is that they get a call from a client or somebody they work with saying they need 1,000 pens. And then they don't ask a question, what is it for?
Right.
You know, what kind of campaign is this going to be a part of? What kind of program is this order going to be a part of? You need to be a little bit more involved in the kind of conceiving of the campaign as opposed to just being that, like, afterthought. If you're the afterthought on the order, then your products have become a commodity.
Body, right.
And when that happens, then you have no way out of the price conversation. You're just going to be talking price because at that point, that's all they care about. So, you know, like Joe was getting at, I think the idea is to really become involved in the conversation as early as possible so you can be part of the whole program.
Yeah, and we have a wonderful study online, the impression study. Oh, it's a wonderful study. The impression study. So, I mean, that's something, you know, you have some statistics here that ASI has put together by interviewing end users of products. So, you know, you can see the value in it, and you got some stats that you can go in with as well, you know, help sell your idea.
Yeah, there's some really good cost per impression numbers there, and really showing the ROI of promotional products. You can find that at asicentral.com/study. Great information there on how to prove the ROI of promotional items, not just overall, but broken down by product category. So make sure you check that out. Stan, good luck to you.
I thought Kathy,
you know what? Yeah, I was just going to add one more point. Don't be afraid to talk about pricing. Be confident when you're talking about the pricing because you are able to show the ROI and the value that you bring.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
It's
like feeding that stray cat, though. Mm-hmm. Once you cut it to the bone, the price.
So don't, Joe. Just don't.
They're going to want it.
All right, so don't feed the stray cat. All right, on line three, we have Sandra with a question. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm terrific. Thank you very much. Earlier, you were talking about getting deposits from clients and that, 50% deposits on a new customer shouldn't be a problem. I just recently had an interesting situation. An old colleague of mine when I was in another industry is working at a particular company, and so I started doing all these quotes, and we've got all these opportunities up in the air, and once they said, well, you know, we do want to move forward, and my corporate office did a D&B, it didn't look very favorable. So I thought, oh, here I go. Now I've got to figure out how I'm going to get these people to part with some money.
Right.
And so it's been weeks now trying to get through this approval process with all these orders, and this one's got to talk to that one, and that one's got to talk to this one, and then the check request. And, you know, I'm just on the brink of it all coming to fruition. And unfortunately, in the midst of it all, there was one project that just went completely south. I quoted, got virtuals, redid the virtuals, and then he said, oh, another department ordered them for less from somebody else.
We lost Sandra, but she brings up a very important point, and I think that's the idea of trying to deal with decision makers. Sometimes you could be stuck in various departments and not know that you're dealing with the right person making a decision. And certainly when it comes to paying, you want to make sure you have a high-level person at a company, if possible. The larger the organization, then the lower down the chain you might be going. But it's important to get to that decision maker.
Sure. And, we get calls all the time in the office about different, surveys and services. And I got one recently for freelance writers. I'm like, you're speaking to the wrong guy. I can't, pull the trigger on that. Mm-hmm. So you got to find the person who makes that. So they asked who it was.
But I don't answer my phone.
I said, call Kathy Houston.
Yeah, we don't want to. I also think a lot of times when you have an existing relationship with a contact, you're more likely to try to do all of your business with that person. But as this, caller said, a lot of times that's not who she needs to be talking to.
Right.
So I would use that contact to say, listen, specifically, who is the person at the decision-making level?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Exactly. Work your contacts as best you can. All right. Well, right now we're going to pause for a commercial from our show sponsor, AIA. But when we get back, we're going to talk about the best steps you could take to get customers to offer great customer service.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we're talking about top business challenges. If you have any challenges you want to discuss or just want to call in to join the fun here this morning, right, Kathy Houston?
That's
give
right.
us a ring at 215-953-4979. Guys, I saw a poll this morning on usatoday.com that absolutely shocked me. Maybe it wouldn't shock you, but let me share. It was about vacations, and the question was, how often do you check work, email, or voicemail while on vacation? So I'm going to go around the room and ask you. Never, Kathy? Sometimes, regularly, or constantly?
For me, it's never.
Never, nice.
Wow, for me, it's constantly.
Constantly.
To the
constantly.
Point where I buy an international data package.
No.
Before I,
check
yeah.
it out.
That
See,
bad?
That's a dedicated worker there, Kathy.
What is wrong with you?
Some of us are trying to get ahead, Kathy.
Vacation is for a reason.
Take
you
a,
need to
take
unwind.
A little, cue here from our own Jen, Joe. Never, sometimes, regularly, or constantly?
It's closer to never. I figure if you're working from the office, that's one thing. If you have a vacation day, you're taking a week vacation, I think it's better to just remove yourself from the job. You need that downtime.
Then you come back ready to go, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Well, usually what I'll do, if it's a Saturday to Saturday, then Sunday night, you know, prior to coming in, I'll clean out some emails prior to getting into the office.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that special? Okay. Well, you fall into the sometimes category then, Joe.
Okay.
I was surprised that the largest group of respondents fall into Kathy's category.
Ta-da!
Never. 41% said that they never check work, email, or voicemail while on vacation.
And who's the most chill person you know, Andy?
Okay, we're going to move on.
She's the most fly, too.
Says the one wearing all black in mourning mode here today.
Stevie Nicks.
Very nice. Yes, just to round that out, it was 41% said never, 34% said sometimes, 20% said regularly. I would fall into that category. I think I regularly check at least once a day. I check. And Jen, you're in the group of 4%.
I'm all right. That's my lucky
constantly.
Number.
You're in the OCD group.
Yeah, the mental problem group.
Well, that's dedication right there, people.
Look, you know, prior to everything, you know, leaving, I make sure everything's, you know, in line.
All right.
I shoot my Joe shows
all
in
right.
advance.
All right, okay, we don't need to hear that.
Let's move
right.
on.
I make sure my work's done. I don't leave anything
okay,
on
okay, late. Next.
So if you do that.
Don't we have somebody waiting
on line? On line one, we have Nicole looking to talk to us this morning. Nicole, how are you today? We're doing
good.
Great. What is your question or comment for the host?
Well, before I say that, I will say I'm in the group. I never check my
Yay, Nicole.
Vacation.
I love you, Nicole.
You
Nobody
know
wants
what?
To be on my
good
team.
For you.
That's
good
right.
for you.
Plus, you shouldn't be checking email when you're drinking pina coladas.
I know.
In my experience. That's right.
Actually, I'll say you shouldn't be drinking pina coladas. Find another
on
drink.
On vacation?
But, okay, we'll find another drink. Nicole, what's your question?
Well, actually, I was calling with a comment. I wanted to say that sometimes what I find is to motivate my buyers is that I'll set deadlines. I'll do a special on items that I know they really want or they mentioned to me before, send it out, contact them, letting them know that, hey, it's going to be on special just for this coming week. You know, you should get in now while you can. Mm-hmm. And I find that sometimes helps get over that hurdle of people who drag their feet a lot because my motivated buyers will buy. So I just wanted to share that comment, you know. Okay.
Nicole, I think it's a great strategy. You're offering a great tip there to our listeners. The idea of offering deadlines and, you know, just kind of showing clients that there could be an urgency to the way they're ordering promotional products and the way they're thinking about them. I think that's a great approach, and it sounds like it's working for you.
Yeah. Is there, you know, it gets motivated ones to really buy, so I like that.
Well, that's a great
you
tip.
Segment out the motivated ones. I love it. Thank you, Nicole, for the call, and enjoy your workless vacation.
I will.
I like Nicole.
All right, Kathy. So we're talking about great customer service and what companies can do to offer that to their clients. So what can they do?
Well, first of all, you have to feel good about yourself, Andy, because if you don't feel good about yourself, your customer's not going to feel good
about
you.
Well, I know that's why you look in the mirror every morning
and say, you're adorable. That's right. And next.
She puts her glasses on.
And say,
it's just me.
Next, be courteous. Duh. I mean, these tips are kind of like obvious. But it takes no more time, Andy and Joe, to be nice and polite than it does to be rude.
No, she didn't say Jen.
Because she would have been rude. Give positive communication, smile, call customers by name, and give specific, genuine, sincere, and timely feedback. And always let them know along the way how their order is doing. And if there's a problem, be honest about that too, and tell them how you're going to fix it. And on that note, perform for the customer. They have a right to demand performance, and they aren't interested in your problems and excuses. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a problem with their order, don't be making excuses. Just tell them how it's going to get fixed.
Nice.
Piggybacking
on one of those, I would say to communicate every step of the way. Like Kathy said, if there's a problem or you're anticipating that there even could be a problem, then it's not something you want to hide from clients. You want to talk them through the process a little bit and say how you're working to fix it or how you're working to make sure that the deadline is still met, but this is the obstacle that you're overcoming at this point and it should be fine, but you know, just wanted to keep you up to date. You know, I think that sort of over-communication would be welcome from most clients. So definitely take those into consideration, and we will post those tips to our website at asicentral.com/radio. Okay, Jen, we found a story that said that now is the best time to be a small business. So tell us why that is.
Because of the internet, Andy. A lot of times before, small businesses were stuck selling specifically to their geographic area, but now, thanks to the internet, they can sell in the virtual marketplace and go way beyond what they were doing. And to go along with that, technology is another huge reason of why that kind of evens the playing field for small businesses. You can focus more on your technology and get out and expand your business. So take advantage of good old social media.
Yeah, you definitely can. And, you know, as a small business, you don't necessarily have to be or seem as small as maybe you are when you're selling online or when you're trying to communicate with people online. So, you know, present a really good website and nobody knows the difference, basically. So as long as you can fulfill those orders, you're good to go. All right. Thank you, Jen, for that. Joe, along the line of the internet, social media is as big a trend as one could have today. So how can executives and their companies succeed on social media?
All right. So we're talking about executives. We're not talking about the low-level rabble like Kathy and me.
We don't speak to any low-level rabble on this show.
No, I know. I'm kidding. You know, more and more executives are getting involved with it. It's just not, you know, a tech person or a department that's doing it. The executives, the higher-ups, are actually getting involved. So they have 10 tips here. We're going to give you three of them. One of them is be the architect. Create a vision for your organization. You know, what are you doing? You know, what are our goods? What are our services? Why are we doing this? You have to, you know, as the leader of the company, you have to set the vision. Here's another one. Conquer the inside first. Now, what do you mean there is create a policy for everyone in work who's using social media on behalf of the company. You got to let them know what the guidelines are, and, you know, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what you can do, what you shouldn't do. And I'll give you one more here, Andy. We're going to be quick here. Keep the culture in mind. So in other words, you know, the people who are on social media are a little different than the people in, you know, ties and suits around the board table. So you got to keep that in mind. It's vital for social media. If company is too conservative and closed-minded, it might not be the right avenue for them. So you got to understand how they communicate on Twitter, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, and you have to, you know, do what's appropriate. But anyway, we got very 10 good of them total. We're going to post these on the website a little later.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Check that out at ASICentral.com/radio. Okay, Kathy, you're the queen of sales around here.
That's right.
I just called you the queen of sales. So you have some ways that salespeople can land a customer meeting. What do you know?
Well, first of all, obviously, you have to offer a reason that's compelling to the customer. You know why you want to meet with them, but the challenge is to communicate why the customer should want to meet with you. So here's a great example. The wrong thing to say is, I want to build a business relationship with you and your firm. So how does that benefit the customer?
Right.
Something that would be better would be, based on your annual report, we can probably save you somewhere around $10 million.
Ooh,
or if you're a distributor, we can, you know, get your product launch off to a great sales start or whatever.
In other words, do some research in advance.
Exactly.
So you find some information out about the company you're calling on.
That's the key. It has to make sense to the customer, and this is ideally based upon your research into that specific customer.
There you go.
Don't use tired sales cliches. Like, say, I'd like to provide you with a free evaluation of our fully guaranteed packaging design services at absolutely no cost to you.
Okay, you just put us to sleep.
Yeah, right. Cut the sales blabber and simply say what it is you're selling and, again, how you can benefit the customer. Request a specific and short amount of time, because the fact is you're not the only one that's busy. The customer is busy. So let them know, can I have a half hour of your time on Thursday from here to there, whatever. Or, like, can we meet for lunch for an hour on Thursday?
Right. Be specific.
Right.
Very nice. Yep. All right, Kathy, thank you very much. We'll post those also to our website at asicentral.com/radio. Okay, now it's Michelle's favorite segment of the show. Unfortunately, Michelle is not here. But we're going to do our favorite products of the week. Jen, why don't you lead us off?
Okay, so yesterday my lifelong best friend told me she is pregnant, and now she has baby fever.
Congratulations,
so
lifelong best friend.
My immediate thought was baby shower. So I like this kit from Brighter Promotions, ASI 42016. It's an 11-piece pastel baby shower decorating kit, perfect for event planners, baby stores, and me.
That's nice.
All right. Cool. Very nice. All right, Joe, you're up next. Watch out. Joe's going to shoot something.
I have a big bass popper, and if you want to see the – oh, great.
Is that like the pig popper?
It is like the pig popper.
No, it's not popping.
The balls look like
– oh, wow.
They look like
– that thing really does fly.
Fishing bobbers. So
don't hit Kathy in the eye.
That's cute.
He stands up on his own, so you can put it on a desk. I think that anyone who's a fishing enthusiast would love to have this. It's great for bait and tackle shops. It's great for fishing tournaments. It's great for marinas.
It's great
for anyone who sells fishing equipment. And you can get it from Hogwild ASI 61228, and you can find them online at www.wildline.com.
Very nice, Joe. You added some fun here this morning. Thank you very much for that. Kathy, you're up.
Mine has to do with popping, too, Andy. It's the goofy pop pen with popping eyeballs. So when you squeeze its little neck, like what I do to Joe, its eyes pop out, and it's really cool. Anyway, so if your customer's asking for a pen, like this, you can't help but smile when you see this cute little pen. And it's from Points of Light, ASI 78825, and you can see it online on our website.
Very cool. Some fun items there for you to check out. All right, Kathy, before we go, you have to answer the question. Should you wear your lucky undies on that next sales call?
Absolutely. I'm wearing them right now. anyway, the point is, Andy, if you have a specific lucky charm, it doesn't have to be your underwear. It could be a piece of jewelry or whatever. Or even if people say good luck, psychologically it has an effect. You do think that you're going to be luckier and you're going to perform better. So it makes sense.
Excellent. All right.
Right now I have this bracelet and it's supposed to bring luck.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And did it bring
luck? I'm feeling really lucky. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see the luck.
The day is early.
Excellent. All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for today. But join us tomorrow for a special ASI radio show during the virtual trade show. Be here same time, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. See you then.